Good morning, Trinity. You know what? This is the day the Lord's made. Okay, just checking. Want to make sure it's in the right place. So we are very glad you are here. We have a couple of cards to fill out, and I think you know the routine. We'd ask you to do that, both for our visitors and our guests. The blue card is for letting you know about communion. Also on the other side, where there's some blanks, just to let us know that you're here, and we'd appreciate you filling those out. The yellowish card is for prayer request. Both cards will be picked up shortly after the reading of Scripture and after the prayers. So make sure and get those turned in when the ushers go by. God's blessings, and we'd like to have you now stand and welcome one another. Hi, Dennis. How are you? Good to see you. No walker.
Huh?
No walker.
No. Kane.
Okay.
Hi.
Good for you. Good for you. You doing okay other than that?
Be down.
Yes, down. Down here. I mean, on this floor. On this level. Hi, Tony.
Peace. Hi, how
That's
are you?
That's peace. Good.
And unfortunately, one of my five too.
Oh, yes, it is. Hi, Carmen.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Thank you. Hello again. Hello. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Oh, Nick.
Good morning, Osana.
Hello, team. Hello. How are you?
Thank you.
Hi.
Good morning.
Please remain standing. Good morning. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by the authority, his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We invite your attention to the scripture lessons appointed to the third Sunday in Advent. The third candle is lighted, and that's an indicated that this is the season when the promise, the most important promise of all time, is coming clearer. The Old Testament reading tells us is how this promise came to the people in the Old Testament during the time when people had been carried away into captivity, and they were awaiting a time to return to the Holy Land. It's in Zephaniah, beginning at chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Jerusalem. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change your shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in. At the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The lesson became very clear in the New Testament, and we readings from Philippians. The people knew the promise at that time, but they were called to rejoice in it. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to as God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel for this Sunday is appointed for Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. This text will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning, trying to answer that question which John asked: are you the one, or should we look for another? The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Now it was in that hour that Jesus had healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowd concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your ways before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. I invite you to follow along, pew Bibles in front of you, or on the screens for our projectionists to be able to send those there. The disciples of John reported all things to him. He said, Are you the one, Jesus, who is to come, or shall we look for another? Can we have doubts even as Christians? John had seen Jesus and had said earlier, Behold the spotless Lamb of God. You remember this story. As he saw Jesus from afar, he'd also recognized earlier, the day before, I believe, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a dove, had descended upon Jesus and rested there upon his shoulder. Now, that was a sign for John that the Father had told John, the one in whom my spirit rests is my son, my beloved son. Listen to him. We also realize that John had told the crowds that Jesus would baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was one that John had spoken of and had said, He is greater than me, the thong of whom I am not even able or willing, or I should say, worthy of having tied. John had gotten many a witness in the crowds that Jesus was the Christ. But what had changed? You remember what had changed was John the Baptist had actually preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he actually called King Herod an adulteress because he had taken on his brother's wife, Herodias. And as a result, she didn't much like it, nor did Herod. So Herod had him placed in prison. And you recall the rest of the story that John's life was in peril. And you start to remember the story as you see that John would lose his head out of the deal. And when you and I start to think about it, we start to see that John was perhaps scared. That he may have also wanted to make sure that his life and his message, his ministry that he'd had up to this point was fixed on the right one. And so he sent that question. Are you the one? Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? I know that the devil is one who is like a roaring lion, book of Peter tells us. He's seeking a soul to devour. But as we read elsewhere in Scripture, we understand that the devil is caged. He is like that roaring lion that's caged in a zoo. He may startle you, he may scare you, but the fact of the matter is he can never harm you. As you and I start to see this, as believers and disciples, sometimes we do have questions, momentary doubts. Look at the disciples. Peter denied Jesus, even knowing him. Thomas doubted and said, unless I put my finger into his hands after the crucified Christ had risen from the dead and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus was that one, that very one, who was the one who would come, who would tell us that no one can snatch us from our Father's hands. No one, not even the devil. And Jesus says, I will never leave you, nor abandon you, or orphan you, or forsake you. And he says in Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I remember telling Peggy and Robert Finney that they would not be alone at the moment they die. And with eyes of faith, they both stood or lie in bed and understood what I was speaking back about in Psalm 23, where I read, the Lord is my shepherd. You shall not want. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because Jesus is there with you. He knows the way and he has the truth and he is the life itself that promises us life everlasting. Let's now look at how Jesus dealt with John's question. Are you the one? Jesus simply answered the disciples, go and tell John what you have seen and what you've heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus wants John's disciples to come to their own belief, to discover what Jesus was doing. And he simply said, go and tell them what you've seen and what you've heard. This is where God the Holy Spirit is wooing us, pursuing us, causing us to come to that conclusion, to believe. This is where God the Holy Spirit enrolls us as students of the faith, giving us unmistakable and unshakable proof that Jesus is the Messiah. This is where the Holy Spirit is teaching and training us, leading us to discover and to believe, to come to that point where we see who Jesus is, and with the hand of faith, grasp that good news. Notice that God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't overwhelm us, doesn't come to a point where we are overcome, where faith is shoved down our throat, forcing us to believe. But rather, the Holy Spirit woos us and leads us to a point of discovery and conviction that this Jesus is the Christ, that God wants this thing called faith to be our belief and our faith. Jesus then also shows us what a witness does. They simply rely from person to person what they've seen and what they've heard, what their experience has been. And sometimes we get all bound up feeling as though we don't have the right words or don't really know what to say. But you know, Jesus really wasn't worried about all of that. He simply told John's disciples to go back and tell them, John, what they'd seen and what they'd heard. He told them to go back and tell them that the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead in Christ are raised up, and the like. He wanted them to speak to John in their own words, from their own points of view, so that John too could believe. Isn't that really what the Lord is asking of us? John was sent into the world to prepare the way for the coming Messiah King. John spoke of Jesus that he must increase and we must decrease. This is the role that we should also play. That where we see our life in the hands of our Savior being the one that we focus on, the one that we point others to, the one that we see him increasing in our life, and our points of view decreasing and diminishing, our life is spent trying to witness unto the Lord. We are witnesses who simply tell what we've seen and what we've heard, what we've experienced, what our story of his story in our life is. We bear witness then of what we've seen and what we've heard. I ask you, how has God been faithful to you? Think that through. How has he answered your prayers? You can even point out your own personal struggles and then look to ways in which you see the hand of God and how he's helping you through it. Or to look back in your life and to see other times of trouble and tragedy and to see how God has gotten you through those times. I want you to note and to understand that John's disciples did not go through a dialogue evangelism course, nor did they sign up for Trinity's foundation course before they went back to tell John what they'd seen and heard. Nor did they enroll at Concordia Seminary to get a degree and have one of those funny shirts with a weird collar. They didn't enroll in teacher's college. Jesus said, you go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. That's what they simply reported back to John. And you know, Jesus entrusted the entire church to a group of 12 disciples that the world of that time said, these men, who are they? They're simple fishermen, untrained and uneducated in the things of the faith. But they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus, and they knew that Jesus, what he had told them, what they'd seen and what they'd heard. And that's what they told the world. And in John, we read that, don't we? We report unto you what we've seen with our own eyes, what we've heard and what we've touched and what we've tasted concerning Jesus, the Lord of life. My friends, don't make witnessing harder than it should be. Jesus was comfortable leaving his entire church on the first Sunday in the hands of those untrained, uneducated men. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit working through them that the message went out to the known world of the time on that Pentecost Sunday. This past week was the last time I saw Bob Finney alive. At the hospital, I'd left his room. I stood outside the elevator. There was another man who was coming out of another room, and I said, how's it going? He said, you know what it's like on this floor, hospice. You know how it's going. He said, my aunt's here until she dies. And I said, I just left another friend, another one of our members, with another similar story. I do know what it's like. But I said, I have good news for you, because I also told that my friend that when that day comes, when that time comes, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because Jesus is with us. And he looked at me and he said, my aunt's a believer. And he said, thank you. And then I told him about a question that Bob had asked, and that question was, how long do I have to stay here until I go to heaven after I die? And I said, you know what, Bob? The Bible tells us on the cross of Christ, on Calvary's Hill, where Jesus with two criminal thieves died. One of the thieves said to Jesus, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And I said to this man at the elevator, do you know what he said? Jesus said to that man? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. As I shared that story with you a couple of weeks ago, I didn't tell you the story of this man at the elevator who was greatly comforted, and he looked at me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, thank you. You know, one thing, as I thought about it, he didn't ask for my degree. He didn't ask if I had one of those funky shirts with a collar at home. He didn't ask me if I was a pastor or a reverend. He simply just received the good news from a common, ordinary man that was suffering just like him. And my friends, that's what it's like for you and for me, simply to share. Simply to share what we've seen and what we've heard and what we know about our Lord and our Savior. And if all of that can happen on one elevator ride, can you imagine how God could use you? And each of us as we bear witness unto Him on a daily basis. Everyone a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply telling what they've seen and what they have heard, and being convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit that yes, we have the right one, Jesus the Christ, the newborn babe of Bethlehem, who has come to save us. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we make confession of our faith this week in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Thank you. Lord and Savior Jesus, into your hands of mercy and grace, we with bended knee and humbled hearts bow before your throne of mercy and grace. We thank you for your patience with us, for the questions and even concerns and outright doubts that sometimes plague us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our world and in our lives to woo us, to draw us close to you, but never to force faith down our throats, but rather to pursue us in such a way that you lead us to discover and to be convicted and convinced that you are the Christ. You are indeed our Savior. You are indeed the one who is able to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. You are the one who has overcome death and the grave. And you are the one, O Lord, who gives life to all who believe in you. And in this life, you are the one who hears and answers our prayers according to your will. And so, Lord, we give you thanks. We indeed praise your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, now hear the prayers that have been requested from your people.
Lord, the congregation lists the following prayers to you. Pray for Amanda for healthy delivery of her baby. Pray for Billy for successful surgery for liver cancer. We pray for Michael for healing after hospitalization for pneumonia after a stroke. Pray for Hannah for health and recovery from surgery. We pray for Jonathan for safe travels to and from West Virginia for job interviews. We also pray for successful surgery for Renee and a speedy recovery. And we pray for Rocky for good results on the test tomorrow. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, these and all who have come to the point where it can be said they have fought the good fight of faith and the course is finished and you've called them home to be with you. We pray for the family of Bob Finney, of Peggy Trapp, of Valerie Schultz, and of a non-church-related member named John Schumacher, that you would be with each of their families and comfort them in the hour of their loss, but cheer them on with the good news that indeed you are the resurrection and the life, and that you have gone to prepare a place not only for them, but also for us, with the blessed hope that we will one day see them again in the comfort and joy of heaven, in that place called paradise. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had broke it, he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as you eat and drink of this cup and bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Brendan, take and eat the true body of Christ. Lord Jesus, bless you, Anna. Blood of Christ given unto death for you, for the remission of all your sins. And now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
You take the tray and you stand next to Pastor.
I'm going to wipe your arm. Jesus bless you. Did you know he loves you? Yeah. Take and eat my body of Christ. Blood of Jesus for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. The body of Christ given unto death for you. Bob, the body of Jesus for you. Daniel, the body of Jesus for you. Diane, take and eat the true body of Christ. Given unto death for you, Bob, for the remission of all your sins. Maddie, I like your dress. Jesus loves you. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Julia, given unto death for you, Dan. Given unto the body of Jesus for you. Tim, the body of Jesus for you. Jamie, the body of Jesus for you. Bill, take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you. Dinah, take and eat the true body of Jesus for you. Take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you. Melanie, the body of Jesus, given unto death for you. Rocky, take and eat the body of Christ for you. Jennifer, the body of Jesus for you. The body of Jesus, Paul, for you. Nina, the body of Jesus for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Carolyn, the body of Jesus for you. Gertie, take and eat the true body of Jesus for you. Brother Greg, take and eat the true body of Christ for you. Take and eat the true body of Jesus for you. The body of Jesus for you. Thanks for singing. Jeannie, take and eat the true body of Jesus given unto death for you. I had that right. Diane, take and eat the true body of Christ. Doug, body of Jesus for you. Ulysses, take and eat the body of Christ. Christ. Body of Christ, Linda, given unto death for you. Nick, Lord Jesus bless you. You know he loves you, don't you? Okay. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Body of Christ given for you. Pastor Glenn, take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you guys. Mary, the body of Christ for you. Paula, take and eat, the sister of Christ, the body of Christ for you. Take and eat, Mary Jean, the body of Jesus, given unto death for you. Bless you. Take and eat, Linda, the true body of Jesus. Mary Lou, take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. The body of Christ given for you. Take and eat, Carmen, the body of Christ for you. Tony? Body of Christ be with you and take this. Jaron, take and eat the true body of Jesus given unto death for you. Anybody on your side? Brad, take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. After them. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. The body of Christ given for you. Gladys, the body of Christ. Omar, the body of Christ given for you. My brother Jim. Taken the true body of Jesus given for you. Richard. Thank you. And Kathy. Good, thank you. Ted, my friend, take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Jesus given unto death for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ given unto death for you for the remission of all your sins. And now may this true body and true blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you both the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Kathy, Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. He also says to take and drink. This is my blood poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. And now may this true body and true blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning, Trinity. The Advent series on the characteristics of Christian faith wraps up this coming Wednesday. It says the 12th there, and I know that's a typo. The 19th, I believe, yep. Is Wednesday. This week's topic is on the characteristics of Christian faith is stewardship.
Correct.
Okay.
What we will have done is we will have covered the five functions of the church, the Christian church. Worship, witness, the word, study of it, and then fellowship, which we did last week, and stewardship we'll wrap up with. That's where we use all of God's gifts and time and talents and treasures that he's blessed us with to his glory. So it should be good. Look forward to seeing you.
It will be good, and it's at 12, 10, and 7, and there's a fellowship meal prior to the 7 o'clock service starting at 5:30. So please join us. Poinsettias are up. They're beautiful. There is more decorations coming for the church. If you would like to purchase a poinsettia, and you get to take them home after Christmas also, if you'd like to dedicate, there's a sheet of paper in the back. You can dedicate that to an individual or any purpose you would like to. Saturday, December 22nd is the service of the longest night. It's at 6 p.m. It's a more solemn service of worship full of hope and understanding for those who may be dealing with grief, sorrow, or other loss at Christmas time, during the Christmas season. Please share information about this service with others that you know may benefit from this type of service. Please be aware that December 23rd, there is one worship service and it's at 10 a.m. If you come at 8, you'll have to wait a couple hours. You come at 11, you'll catch the end. And Christmas Eve, we will host our annual, the children's program will be at 3 p.m., and the candlelight communion worship will be at 5, 7, 9, and 11. That's why we have one service on Sunday. Pastor needs a lot of energy that day. Child care is available at 3, 5, and 7 a.m. p.m. services. Christmas Day worship will be at 10 a.m. in the morning, and there is a special New Year's Eve service, and that will be held Monday, December 31st at 7 p.m. All service information is in the website, on the Facebook, and in the Trinity Weekly in the back. Finally, the Foundations class will start anew on January 9th. This is a series for new prospective members, old members alike, who wish to learn about what it means to be a Lutheran Christian. And, it doesn't say what day it is, but it's a good class and it's very good information.
It's January 6th, the Wednesday, or 9th.
I don't know what time. But.
Oh, 6:30.
There you go. My apologies for.
No, it wasn't there. I don't think it was there, Ted. I don't think it was there. What I wanted to say was, and you certainly could have been up here, thank you, Ted, for all that you do in our leadership, all of our leaders. This is just a praise moment. We've had a lot going on. Wednesday through Sunday, this weekend we've had 3 memorial services, and last week we had a big one too. I am wanting to say thank you, Trinity, for how you pulled together to help make people who are mourning and suffering and saddened by their loss to be emboldened and to be able to be strong and courageous and to see your faith and your love for their loved ones. I was taken aback several times, and I'm thankful for that. Today's memorial service for Robert Finney will be at Woodlawn Memorial in Gotha. And that service will be held at 2:30 p.m. at Woodlawn Memorial with an internment following immediately following that service. Thank you and God's richest blessings. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.